Thank you, Mr. Shaw, and certainly good to see all of you today, and welcome to any visitors that we might have. Many of us are familiar with Psalm 1. Psalm 1 kind of sets the mood and the tone for the entire collection of Psalms. And it's interesting that it starts out the way it does. So why don't we go ahead and turn there to Psalm 1, and we'll take a quick look at verses 1 and 2. Psalm 1, verses 1 and 2. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. It's interesting that this psalm, and consequently all the psalms, start with the word blessed. Blessed is the man. Young's literal translation translates that as, oh, the happiness of that one. Adam Clark comments, the word which we translate blessed, Esher, may be considered as an exclamation produced by contemplating the state of the man who has taken God for his portion. Oh, the blessedness of that man. Now, a lot of people consider being blessed as you know, having those things you want, being prosperous and so forth. And certainly that is a blessing in many ways. But is that all there is? Or is there more to what it means to be blessed? So today what I'd like to do is take a look at what God's perspective is on what it means to be blessed. So if you turn with me, first of all, we'll take a look at Psalm 32. Psalm 32 and verses 1 and 2. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. So right off we see here that one aspect of truly being blessed is the fact that God has covered our iniquity. We know fully well when we read in Romans that the wages of sin is death. And every one of us has sinned against God. We have violated God's laws. So consider the blessing that it is and that we have to have an opportunity to have life restored to us. To have a chance for life. Because without God covering that iniquity, without him doing away for it, we have one destiny, one outcome, and that is death. But because God has blessed us, God has covered our sins, we have a chance for life. And even before that, if you want to take a look at it in that way, before that God has covered our sins and forgiven those sins for us, we're blessed that we have a God who cares, who is willing to do that for us. I mean, he could just as easily said, okay, here are my rules, you've violated, that's it, it's done. But no, that is not who God is. Let's take an example and take a look at that. Turn with me, if you would, to Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 18. We'll be reading in verses 21 through 23. Ezekiel 18, 21 through 23. But if a wicked man turns from all his sins which he has committed, keeps all my statutes, and does what is lawful and right, he shall surely live. He shall not die. None of the transgressions which he has committed shall be remembered against him because of the righteousness which he has done. He shall live. Do I have any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, says the Lord? and not that he should turn from his ways and live? That's a blessing we have, that we have a God who doesn't take pleasure in the fact that, well, these wicked people are going to die. Serves them right. No, that's not who God is. God wants people to turn from their wickedness. And we have that blessing that our sins can be forgiven, that we have the opportunity for life. And God states here how that happens. We turn away from our sins. We turn away from the wickedness. We keep God's statutes. We do what's lawful and right. And God will give us life, everlasting life. And that is a huge blessing that we have. And it's a blessing, really, beyond measure. How do you quantify that type of blessing? Because it doesn't matter what else you may have. If you don't have life, there's nothing. It ends. So that is the very foundation of the blessings that God has given to us. But in order to have a chance for life, this opportunity that God has given us, you need to live, as we saw here in Ezekiel, you need to live by the ways which are lawful and right. But how are you going to do that if you don't know what they are? How are you going to live by God's laws if you haven't learned what God's laws are first? And that leads us to another way in which we are blessed. Turn back to Psalm again, Psalm 94. Psalm 94, we're going to be reading verse 12. Psalm 94:12. Blessed is the man whom you instruct, O Lord, and teach out of your law. So again, here we see that we have a huge blessing, and that not only does God forgive our sins, but he's right here willing to teach us the right way to live so that he can forgive our sins. It's a blessing that God is willing to teach us from his word, to show us the right way, to show us a way of life, as Jesus Christ said, he came that we might have life and to have life more fully. And that is a blessing that we have, another way in which we are blessed. Because if we weren't being taught by God, think about what your life might be like. It's actually hard to imagine now. But we would still be living under Satan's lies and deceptions. We wouldn't know about the hope that we have, the opportunity we have for life. None of that would be clear. We wouldn't have the opportunity here. So it's a blessing that God is willing to instruct us and that we can learn from his word. God gave the ancient Israelites the opportunity to learn and live by his laws. Let's take a look at that back in Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, we'll read verses 1 through 6. Deuteronomy 4, starting in verse 1. Now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and the judgments which I teach you to observe, that you may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers is giving you. You shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did at Baal Peor. For the Lord your God has destroyed from among you all the men who followed Baal of Peor. But you who held fast to the Lord your God are alive today, every one of you. Surely I have taught you statutes and judgments, just as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should act according to them in the land which you go to possess. Therefore, be careful to observe them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples who will hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. The Israelites were taught God's laws through Moses, and God spoke to them directly at Mount Sinai. But then Moses continued to teach the Israelites. And think about the opportunity they had here. Had they fully realized what a blessing it was to be taught God's ways? And God showed them what would happen. If they had learned those laws, they had lived those laws, the nations around them would have looked at Israel in admiration and said, look how wise and understanding these people are. Look how well off they are. There's something special about these people. They were to be a shining example to the nations around them of what it means to live by God's ways. The irony of it is, because Israel did not appreciate the blessing that they had of being taught God's laws, they went away from those laws, and eventually they came to Samuel and said, we want a king. We want to be like the nations that are around us. When really it's supposed to be the other way around. The nations around them were the ones who should have wanted to be like Israel because of God's laws. And even after Samuel went to God, and God said, it's not you they're rejecting, it's me. But tell them this. And this always gets me. There are six different things God told Samuel to tell him that the king would take from these people. And yet, what was their response? Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, no, we'll have a king over us, that we may also be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. Complete reversal of what it was supposed to be, because they didn't appreciate the blessing they had, and that they had been taught God's ways. We need to understand, we need to remember that we are blessed. Because God has picked us from the peoples of this world to teach us His ways, that we can learn those ways. We don't want to be in a position where we are desiring to be like those around us in this world. They're not living by God's ways. We are striving to do that because we have that blessing of being taught. We should desire to be taught from God's word, to continue learning from it more deeply, more profoundly, and applying that in our lives so that we can be living by God's laws, so that we can be living His ways. Our desire should be like the one expressed in Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verses 33 through 40. Psalm 119, verses 33 through 40. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it to the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in that. Incline my heart to your testimonies, and not to covetousness. Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things, and revive me in your way. Establish your word to your servant, who's devoted to fearing you. Turn away my reproach, which I dread, for your judgments are good. Behold, I long for your precepts. Revive me in your righteousness. That is the desire we need to have, to learn God's ways, to be blessed because we are learning His ways. Because learning those ways and living those ways bring about its own blessing. We are extremely blessed when we live by God's laws. Even though sometimes, as we're going through severe trials, it may not seem like it. The reality of it is that as we look forward, knowing what God is providing to us, It's a blessing that we have. There's really not much I can add to what the Bible already tells us about this. So I want to just read through some of these. We'll turn to them to show that living by God's ways is a huge and tremendous blessing. So let's start in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 8, verses 32 through 34. Proverbs chapter 8, verses 32 to 34. Now, therefore, listen to me, my children, for blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise, and do not disdain it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. It is a blessing to be living by God's ways, to listen to Him, to learn from His Word. While we're here in Proverbs, let's go over and turn over to Proverbs 20. Proverbs 20, verse 7. The righteous man walks in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. The integrity that we walk in is not our own, but the integrity that we get from living God's ways. And as we do that, not only are we blessed, but our children are blessed after us. God promises to the thousandth generation blessings upon the children of the righteous. That's a huge blessing. Can't even imagine 1,000 generations. But we see here that living God's ways is a blessing not only for us, but those who come after us, who see our example, to hear our instructions, and learn to live by God's ways too. Let's turn back into Psalms again. Psalm 128. Psalm 128, verse 1. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in His ways. Again, that comes back to what we read in Psalm 119. Establish your word to your servant who is devoted to fearing you. There's a blessing to fearing God, knowing that the only right way to live is to walk in the ways of God. And there's a blessing to that, a reassurance. Psalm 106, verse 3. Psalm 106, verse 3. Blessed are those who keep justice, and he who does righteousness at all times. Justice and righteousness come from living by God's ways. It's not something that we come by naturally. It's something we come by because we're learning from God's law, we're learning from His Word, and we live by what we're learning. Psalm 119, verses 1 through 3. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep His testimonies, who seek Him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. It's clear that there's a huge blessing all around when we keep God's ways. When we walk in His ways, we learn His law and live by those ways. While we're here in Psalm 119, let's take a look also at verses 165 through 168. Psalm 119, verses 165 through 168. Because there are other benefits to keeping God's ways, to living by His laws. And this is just one example. Psalm 119, verse 165 through 168. Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. Lord, I hope for your salvation, and I do your commandments. My soul keeps your testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I keep your precepts and your testimonies, for all my ways are before you. How is it that we're able to have great peace, especially in the midst of great trials? I know a lot of us are struggling through any number of different types of difficulties, trials, tribulations, if you want. We're suffering in various ways. But because we have a blessing that we're trying to live by God's laws, we can have great peace. And why is that? Why is it that we're able to have that great peace? That in itself is another blessing. Psalm 84. Psalm 84, verse 12. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in you. Why are we able to have great peace? Because we're learning to trust in God. I'd hate to think what my life would be like if it were completely in my own hands. I could probably count any number of ways I'd mess things up. But knowing that even though I can't see what's going to happen 2 weeks from now, 2 months, even tomorrow, that in itself is a lot of ground for doubt, for trepidation, especially for someone who likes to be able to plan everything out, to know what's happening, said, this is what I'm going to do, and that's how it's going to be. Well, that's difficult. But you can have peace as a blessing when you learn to trust in God. And that is an ongoing thing that we continually need to learn. Let's look at another couple examples of that while we're here in Psalm. Turn back to Psalm 40. Again, I don't think it can say it enough. Psalm 40 and verse 4. Blessed is that man who makes the Lord his trust and does not respect the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. We can't look around us and put our trust in people who are very proud of themselves, very self-assured, self-confident, and certainly we don't want to turn aside to those who are deceitful and lie. The trust we need to have needs to be the trust in God. And turn back just a few pages to Psalm 34. In verse 8. Psalm 34, verse 8. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Trust is one of those things that can take a blink of an eye to destroy. And we humans are very good at doing that, of saying something and doing something that betrays a trust. And it takes a long time to build that trust up again. And it takes us a long time to learn to trust in God. It's a lifelong endeavor. And for those of us who lament that we know we don't trust God enough yet, there is some consolation when you look at the example of Abraham. Yeah, when God told him, I want you to pack up and move, there was a certain level of trust there. Abraham said, okay, I will do that. But did he fully trust God yet? And the answer is no. Because later on, when he went to Egypt, what did he tell the Pharaoh? Oh, she's my sister. He didn't say that Sarah was his wife. Because he didn't quite fully trust God yet. He had to come up with his own way of dealing with this problem. It took him time to where he finally got to the point he trusted God so fully that he was willing to sacrifice Isaac. And God said at that point, "Now I know your heart." It's going to take us time to get to the point where we are so fully trusting in God that we're willing to completely put our lives in His hand. But that is what we need to do. And there's a huge blessing in that, knowing that we can fully trust God, knowing that He will direct our paths in the way that is best for us to go. And while we're doing that, there's another blessing that we can have. Turn to Isaiah. Isaiah verse 30, chapter 30 and verse 18. Isaiah 30, verse 18. Therefore, the Lord will wait that He may be gracious to you, and therefore He will be exalted that He may have mercy on you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all those who wait for Him. God knows it takes time to develop His character in us. He knows it takes time for us to fully trust Him. But it's a great blessing that we have, that He is willing to do that, to wait for us, to work with us, to extend His mercy to us. And at the same time, it's a blessing for us to wait on God, knowing what He has promised, knowing that Jesus Christ will be returning and restoring God's kingdom on this planet. What a blessing that is to know, to look forward to have that hope. It's a huge blessing. And that's part of the reason we can have the peace that we can in trusting in God and in looking forward to the promise that He's made, because we know that because God has promised that, we can fully trust that that promise will be kept. He will keep His word. He will do what He has said He will do. Blessed are all those who will wait for Him. You know, as we have seen, from God's perspective, blessing goes far beyond physical prosperity, which we may have. And it is a blessing to have those things that go well beyond what we need to survive. There's no doubt about that. But from God's perspective, blessing is so much more than that. We who are being called right now, we are exceedingly blessed because God has forgiven our sins. And He has given us the opportunity for life. Because in the midst of Satan's confusion and Satan's deception in this world, we have been blessed to be called out of that, to be taught about God's ways, to be able to learn from His word. And we are blessed when we live by those ways, and we're blessed even more as we learn to trust God completely and fully with our lives. So are you blessed? I'll go back to Psalm 1, verses 1 and 2. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night.